We're ready to move on now. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Now then, I'm going to try and be brief, but I'm not coming to you out of the book of Ezekiel. Not after what I've been through. I've titled this A Personal Testimony because I'm going to share with you some of what I went through and what I believe. Let's see. I just want to share a few things that I learned. And I'm going to be sharing some scriptures here. Let's see. Let me get it up here in a second. Because let me first of all thank the Lord for his abundant mercies. Because truly, I'm going to jump ahead and get it. Let me stop there. I'll come back to that. I just want to thank the Lord for his abundant mercies toward me. I want to thank the Lord for my son, Justin. Because I told my wife and I told Tori we were talking the other day, and I told them when I went upstairs and told Justin, I said, "Son, you need to take me to the hospital because it ain't what I'm feeling is not right." Justin went full doctor mode on me. Brother went, he was like, "Dad, are you having a tightness in your chest?" I'm looking at him like, "No, son. Are you lightheaded? Are you dizzy?" I'm like, "Are you Dr. Fauntroy? Are you gonna leave?" I said, "You need to take me to." He's giving me the rundown. But I appreciate it. I love him. I thank God for him. So I thank God for our son. I thank God for all those who prayed for me, who knew about it and didn't know about it. All right. Cause Moses shared, they were praying at the hour or whatever. The Lord put me on their heart or what have you. And I'm so grateful for all those, people at Pharaoh's Hospital. Oh my goodness. Lord Jesus, who cared for me. I just don't have enough words to express my gratitude toward, obviously the Lord. Because of this. So let me share it. This whole thing for me came back to, this was not this scripture. It was 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 was the last reference I shared from last week's sermon, which says, "And above all things, put on, be clothed with humility." Okay. Because God gives grace. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That was the last scripture from last week. But this scripture came to my mind with all that what I was going through, which James says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow." That's not only true of me, church, that's true of all of us. Mm-hmm. That's true of every one of us. Look here. I wanted to show you this. Here's my, this is my calendar from, I don't know if you can see that, but that's last Tuesday for my jobs that I do. And I had on my schedule to clean a job in the morning, a job in the afternoon, and go pick up a shed. Did you see that? Could you see that?
It's, since you're sharing, it's going to be small.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, my point in sharing that was this. Nowhere on my schedule did I have an appointment with Pharaoh's Hospital, atrial fibrillation. I didn't have that anywhere on my schedule. Yet it was on the schedule. It was on the schedule. I didn't know about it, but God knew about it. And so this, what I'm trying to say with this scripture is, listen, church. Every day, James says this, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." And listen, we have nothing to say with that. We have nothing to say about that. Instead, you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we shall live." And the reason why I'm alive talking to you today is because God wills it. The reason why you're alive listening to me today is because God wills it. Make no mistake about it. He says, "But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." And so this, the, you know, the humility of the moment was really grasping me as I'll share in a little bit more details about, and I've already shared some, but I'll share it again, what went on. But this scripture came to my heart, and I wanted to share it. This is one I'm quoting from the pulpit all the time, Acts 17:25. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything from us, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Now, church, this is literal. Paul isn't, he's not just using poetic, you know, terms. God literally gives to you and I life,
amen,
breath,
and all things.
And all things. It all comes from him.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I didn't have shortness of breath, but let me tell you something. When you can't get hold of your breath, you begin to wonder. And so, but God is the one who keeps us, and he holds us in this life. Then I want to share Daniel 5:23, where Daniel said to Belshazzar, Belshazzar was the one who was drinking out the cups that belonged in the temple and so forth. And he had created a big banquet for all his generals and so forth. And the handwriting came on the wall, and no one could interpret it. And they called Daniel. And Daniel comes and he interprets it, and he says, you've lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. They've brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
God. Now that's prophetic. And poetic language he's using. There's figurative, but it's also spiritual. And it's, and I believe it's literal. The God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways you have not glorified. God owns us, church. 1 Corinthians.
Yes, he does.
1 Corinthians 16 or 6:19, where Paul says, you have been bought with a price. You are not your own.
Amen.
God owns us, church. And he does what he wills with his own. And the vessel cannot say to the one who made it, what are you doing?
Amen.
Amen. I got one amen. I heard one amen in there. Are you listening to me, church? Listen, amen. Listen. This is the life we live. And it is to be a life, you just consumed with humility, because who are we without God? I'm telling you, we're nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
We are absolutely nothing, right?
Amen.
And so, last Tuesday morning, I'm going to stop sharing this for a second so I can see you all. Last Tuesday morning, I woke up about 2 a.m., went to the restroom. When I laid down, I noticed a little, I don't know if you remember this during my sermons, but I've said this multiple times from the pulpit, that every now and again, I feel a, just a little flutter, and it just, you know, I'm used to that. I don't know how long I've been feeling that, but I'm used to it. I just, you know, keep on going because it goes away. Well, last Tuesday morning at 2 a.m., it was gone, and it was noticeable, but it wasn't frightening me or anything. But I knew, I was like, this is not normal. This is, I pray this will go away. So anyhow, I got up my tablet and stayed up a little bit, read all up on atrial fibrillation, cardioversion, you know, defibrillate. I read it all. I read everything. Because I couldn't go to sleep because my heart was fluttering. But finally, I fell back off sleep around 4, got up at 6. And on and off throughout the whole day, I felt this flutter in my heart. I didn't want to tell my wife. Where's she at? I don't see her picture. Anyhow, I didn't want to tell my wife. Why? Because my wife is almost six hours away taking care of her mother with dementia. The last thing she needs is for her husband, you understand, to be, you know, not bothering her, but concerning her with his health. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to wait, because it was off and on. And so I went and cleaned carpet. I lifted. I did everything. I picked big old rugs. I'm doing everything because the fluttering was just a flutter. I wasn't out of breath, no pain, nothing, just a little, you know, and so I went on with my day. And then Tuesday night came, and so I'm sitting here, and I'm gonna tell you what I said Tuesday night. Now, put on your hats. Well, no, this is what I said, because I was doing a teaching, and I began to, you know, what was Tuesday? It was election day. And so what I shared simply then, I'm going to share now, out of 1 Kings, and I'm going to put it up real quick and read it for you. And this is what I shared. So 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam. Do you know the story about Rehoboam and Jeroboam? This is when the kingdom split. The 10 tribes go with Jeroboam to create Israel. Judah and Benjamin stay with the house of David. Okay, and they follow the sons of David, right? Okay, so this is when the kingdom is going to split now. And so the people come to Jeroboam after Solomon is dead. And they come to Rehoboam, and they say, please lighten the load of your father Solomon. He was heavy on us. You had to build the temple. We did all these things. It was hard. Okay, he's dead and gone. Temple's built. Please relax, you know, relax the tension on us. And he said, go back, you know, go away for 3 days, and then I will come back, and I'll let you know what I decide. So Rehoboam asked the old people what to do. They said, lighten the people's load. They'll serve you forever. Then Rehoboam turned to the young people and said, what should I do? They said, be harsh on them. Be real harsh on them. And so when he came back, Rehoboam, what the young people said, the people grew up with. And he said, you think your dad was hard. I'm going to be 3 times as hard. I'm going to be worse than my dad. And so it says here, and that's what's happening here. Jeroboam, all the people came back to Rehoboam the third day, and the king, as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. So the king did not listen to the people. Listen, here it is. For the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord had spoken to Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now, the reason why I was sharing this was simply this. I was simply sharing that on election day, or the outcome of this election, there are Christians on either side of this election. They're Christians for Trump. They're Christians for Biden. They're Christians for the left and the right. You name it. Dems, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, like all these labels. They're Christians on either side. And one set of those Christians.
Must just be me, because I can't hear a thing he's saying for the last 2 minutes. Is it just me?
It's just you.
Okay, thanks.
It's just you.
Anyhow, so I was saying that there are going to be some Christians who are going to be disappointed in the outcome. You follow?
Yes.
And what I was simply saying was this. Don't be so upset, because the turn of events was from the Lord. It says it again here in 1 Kings. It goes on further. Rehoboam is getting all his army together to go fight and get the 10 tribes back to serve the house of David, because, you know, that's the way it should be. The scripture says, but the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and the rest of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man turn to his house, for this thing is from me. This thing is from me. What's from him? Christian Trump, if you lose, it's from the Lord. Christians from Biden, if you lose, it's from the Lord. In other words, Be all right with it. Be settled with it. Because at one way or the other, okay, it's got to go one way or the other. And don't be so crazy about it. God is the one who determines. Isn't that what Psalm 75 says, verse 6? That God raises up kings and he puts them down. Hello. Amen. You know, it says promotion doesn't come. It doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. But the Lord is the one who puts up and he puts down. So that's what I was simply sharing. And after I got done sharing that, well, I wanted to go further, because I wanted to say, because it, I think it's very important for us to understand that both of these kings, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, one was king of Judah, one was king of Israel, both of them disobeyed the Lord. Both of them disobeyed the Lord due to their ungodly character. Both received prophetic rebukes from the Lord. Both of them. Now, here's a question. Out of all this craziness that we've been going through in our nation, here's the question, because my big concern is for the Church of Jesus. How are we to reconcile all the prophecies that have gone forth about this, that, and the other? The dreams, the visions, that say Donald Trump is going to win, this term he's going to win. He's going to be in for 8 years. I've been here for 4 years. He's going to win for 8 years. Christians everywhere have not accepted of the outcome of the election, citing rampant corruption. Dutch Sheet says it's not over till January 18th. He said, we're going to flip this. Are you listening to me? There are plenty of people in this nation said, no, we're not having this. Okay? We are not having this. God, you're going to flip this thing. I said, oh, what? People are upset. There's all kinds of business. And I'm like, but there are people who had prophetic dreams and said, no, he's going to win. He's going to win. That's the way it has to be. And so how are we to reconcile these two things? And I wanted to just share something quickly about that. I'm going to get back to my testimony. Don't you worry. But I wanted to show you something, because out of the Old Testament and in the New Testament, because it bears looking at, with how do you reconcile when a prophecy goes forth that says, well, this is what was going to happen, but then it doesn't happen. And I'm going to use Jonah, Hezekiah, Jesus, and Paul. I'm taking two from the old. I'm taking two from the new. I could take a whole lot more. But we need to understand the book. We need to understand the Bible. So let's look at Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to the Nineveh of the great city, preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, here we have a prophetic word that God has given to the people of Nineveh. Let me ask you a question. Why does God give the prophetic word to the people of Nineveh? Anybody? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm asking you. Can anybody tell me?
Give them opportunity.
Because I can't see you.
Anybody give them tell an opportunity. Me
why? Hello? Say it again.
Warning. Give them an opportunity.
Yes! Hey! Glory to God! Amen! Yeah. God gave the prophetic word to the Ninevites because he wanted them to repent.
Amen.
Amen. He did not want to destroy them.
Amen.
Now, he did not want to destroy them. He gave them a warning so that they could turn from their sin. That's a very important point. Because when we listen to prophetic words, we get it in our mind that it has to be the way the prophetic word said it has to be. God says 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. But watch this. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, and from the greatest to the least of them. So what did they do? They repented. What did God do? He didn't bring the judgment.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Did not bring the judgment. So you say, what am I saying in sharing this? I'm saying that a prophetic word will not come to pass if people do what God wants them to do.
Come on.
Not every prophetic word is going to come to pass if we do what God wants us to do. Now, let me tell you, I'm having a real problem with us Christians labeling people dims and libs and baby killers. And here, and when we're doing this, we're creating a us against them mentality.
Come on now.
And Paul said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Christians are getting to the point where they're talking about, the people who don't agree with them, the dims, the liberals and the baby, and they're talking about them like they're the enemy.
Right.
No, Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Jesus sent the church to preach the gospel to the baby killers.
Right.
To preach the gospel to the homosexuals, to the people killing babies.
Come on now.
We're not supposed to want to, you know. Man, people talk about getting guns and starting a war. I'm saying, what are you talking about? That is not Jesus.
He's
not Christ. Excuse me. But I mean, I'm looking at the church. I'm concerned about the church.
And
let me say, let me move on to Hezekiah. Let me look at Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And the Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, now here comes the word of the Lord. Here comes the prophecy. Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, you shall die and not live. Okay. I'm not going to share the rest of it. You know the rest of the story. What did Hezekiah do?
He prayed.
And interceded for more time.
He turned to God and cried out to God. He said, remember, Lord, remember all of the things I've done for the kingdom of Judah. God, remember me. You know, he cried out for his life. What did Isaiah didn't get past the house? Right. He didn't get out of the king's house. And the Lord said, turn around, go back.
Right.
Go back. Tell my servant, giving him 15 more years.
Come on.
Hezekiah did, his response to the prophetic word changed the outcome of the prophetic word.
Come on now.
This is very important, right? Because I'm hearing a lot of people prophesy, they're going, well, this, that, and the other thing, and I'm going, listen, I'm no prophet. I know you will not hear me call myself a prophet. But you know what I got that's better than a prophetic word?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost gives a prayer. Right,
that's it.
And I said, okay, let's your prophet. Let's test it. Okay? Amen. Now let me move on to Jesus. Okay? Because let me say this first. Jesus labored to fulfill a prophecy that was about his death. Christians I hear today, here's what I hear them saying. No, but they prophesied he was going to win. Now he's going to win. He's going to win. He's going to win. Let me tell you what Christians do. Christians like prophecy when they're winning. Jesus went forward to Jerusalem with a prophecy that said he would die.
Come on now. And he went.
Not running to that.
And he went.
And he went. But you know what we do? No. My candidate is going to win. That's what I'm about. And I'm not about anything else other than that. Because it can't be that way, God. Let me tell you how it's going to work.
Come on.
It can't be that way.
Show God how it's going to work.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. Okay. Now listen. I'm going to show you in the book. Okay. Let's go back to it.
Amen.
Let's go back to it. And I'm not picking sides. I'm telling you how the church has got to be. Listen. I don't care who, listen, let me tell you who's going to take care of me. I don't care if I don't care who's in the White House.
This is not
my Lord, who picked me up in the hospital. Amen.
Right.
He's going to take care of me.
Come on now.
You can go do crazy if you want to.
Right.
But my God is going
to
take care of me.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
I am not trusted in any man.
Right.
Lord knows I'm not trusted in President-elect Biden.
Right.
Nobody trusting in you. What am I doing? I'm praying for you.
Yes.
Just like I pray for President Trump.
Amen.
Day. I pray for President Trump every day. His salvation. Every day. His character. Every day. I pray for President Obama. I will pray for President O'Biden and his character. And God turn their policy. Yeah, pray for him every day.
Yeah.
Amen.
And if you pray for Trump but you didn't pray for Obama.
Right. Come on.
If you prayed for Trump every day, but you didn't pray for Obama.
Amen.
I ain't got to say nothing.
I pray for Trump.
And listen here.
Yeah.
Watch this. Remember now, Jesus is about to go to the cross. This is Matthew 26. Can you see it? He pulls out his sword and he attacks the man. Jesus said this, put your sword in its place.
Amen.
All who take the sword will perish by the sword. Now watch this. Or do you think that I cannot pray to my Father and he will? Not he may, not I have to. No, he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels. How then, though, could the scriptures be fulfilled? In other words, what was prophesied about Jesus happened because Jesus also gave himself to it. Jesus gave himself to a prophetic word that cost him his life.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah. Amen.
And Paul ran right behind Jesus and did this exact same thing. Paul ran right down. I'm gonna show it to you in a second. But hear what I hear Christians saying today? Oh no, the prophetic word I heard. said my candidate gonna win and my will gonna be done. So that's the way it's gonna be. Don't talk to me about anything else.
Joe said it.
We gonna storm the state houses. We coming out with our guns. We coming out blazing because we're gonna have it the way our prophetic word said it has to be.
Come on now.
And I'm looking at that going, that's not Jesus.
That's not
right.
That's not Jesus, church.
It's not. It's
so, where is it? Let me share Paul's. This is where Paul is going. Well, let me just read it. And as he stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit. In other words, hey, this is God speaking here. Mm-hmm. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then right. Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done.
Come on now.
The will of the Lord be done. Listen to what they're saying. They're saying, okay, God, even if it's not what we want,
right,
we're going to go with what you want. Oh,
right. Man.
Right. Listen, Christians are not there today. Christians are not there today because you know what they're saying? Yeah. Oh, no, we're going to have it the way we want it.
Our way. It's perfect.
We're going to have it the way we want it. You know what I'm saying? That was Dutch Sheet said. Dutch Sheet, I mean, Dutch, that, there's a prominent, I'm not going to mention his name. There's a prominent intercessor guy out there, and he said, oh, no, it's not going to be this way. We changing this thing. I'm looking at him like, I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe it isn't. We're going to see, though.
Right.
But I'm like, dear God. What is going on with us? Do you have to be in control? Do you have to be in power? Or does God reign? Does God reign over all things?
Amen. That's
what I'm going to tell you, church. Amen. Listen,
amen.
There's a reason why in the New Testament you don't hear Paul railing against Nero and the emperors of Rome. You don't hear him going, come on, church, get up, get to go. We're going to go down and we're going to protest. You know, you don't hear all of that.
Right.
You hear Paul preaching Christ and him crucified. Mm-hmm. The church has some idols in it today, beloved.
Tell the truth, Pastor.
You have to get after it.
Amen.
You know, I'm not going to have
to get after it. And we
there's one who's getting after it.
Come on.
There's one who's getting after it. The Lord of glory.
Glory to God.
And so let me say this. There's only one person who can affect the prophetic word concerning Donald Trump. That's Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. No.
And I'm going to come at it right here in Daniel 4. I shared this scripture in a sermon called Chosen Character on September 20th of this year. It's on the website. I believe it should be on the website. Anyhow, this account is when the king has a dream. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He sees a tree, a great tall tree, and the watchers from heaven tell the angels, cut the tree down and, you know, cause it to be humbled, to, you know, take all its glory away from it. And so Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know what it means. They call Daniel. Daniel comes in and says, this is the interpretation, O king. This is decree from the Most High, which has come upon my Lord, the king. You see that? Which has come upon my Lord, the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he chooses. Mm-hmm. So, one intercessor, the guy was using this scripture, and what he said was this: God raises up the basest of men, the vilest of men. He talked about Jehu. He said Trump doesn't have to have great character. God can use anybody. I said, well, the same thing applies to Biden. The same thing applies to Obama. The same thing applies to anybody else who could be. So why are you applying? Why does it have to be applied to Trump?
It does.
Why does it have to be applied to Trump?
It does.
Because you're using it to get your way. When we listen to church, when you use the scripture to get your way.
Right.
That's not a good thing. God's not gonna. He's not gonna hold that up. He's not gonna support that. Right. And so it goes on here and says, inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after that you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, now this is what's so important. And this is what I said in the sermon on September. I said this on Facebook and people came after me. My beloved Christian brethren came after me. And I said it in so many words, but hey, you know, it is what it is.
Amen.
After the prophet interprets the dream. Now, when the prophet interprets the dream and tells you exactly what it means, when he tells you, gives you counsel and advice, you think you want to hear that, right?
Amen.
Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. In other words, Daniel is telling the king to repent. Here comes the prophet. Here's the prophetic dream. Here's the prophetic interpretation. Now, king, repent. Okay, so we see that. But what does the king do? Verse 28 says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. So God gave him space of 12 months to repent after this prophetic word. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? So he's boasting in himself and what he's able to accomplish. And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you is it spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you out from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 years or 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he chooses. And so I said that only Donald Trump can determine what happens to him by his response to what God has done for him. I talked all about this in the sermon in September, because God chooses all of us for something, church.
Amen.
And based upon God's choosing us, then we must honor him by how we live our lives. That's why character matters. Now, they could overturn the election tomorrow, but character still matters.
Indeed.
You hear me?
Yes.
Character still matters. So I'm done with that part. What time is it? 2:49. But I'm not done yet. All right. But I wanted to share that about the election and my concern. My concern is not if Trump's president, if Biden's president. My concern is the church of those who put their trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior being pulled away and wanting to put their trust in a man.
Come on now.
In a man. And not in God. Listen, if God, people are talking about they're persecuting the church. Listen, the first century church, people were thrown to the lions, and the faith of the church was growing. People were coming to faith in Christ, and Christians were not concerned. They loved their lives not unto the death.
Right.
Here we scared to death. We thought, but they can't. We can't let them in office. They're gonna persecute. I can't go to church to sing a song. I'm like, are you serious? Are you serious? That's all you're concerned about. Mm. You know, I can't have pizza after worship. I want to be able to worship God. I want to be able to, like, come on, man. Come on. If we suffer with him, we're going to be glorified with him.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8. You cannot be in Christ and not experience suffering. It is antithetical to the scriptures. If you, all those who name the name of Christ, it said all of those, we're going to suffer persecution if you're a believer. So, you know, I'm not voting in a person who's going to deliver me from persecution. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to run to persecution, but that's not the chief goal here.
Right.
So let me get back to my testimony. So, you know, after I had the water, I'm sitting here, no pain, no shortness of breath, but my heart was racing so bad. I felt like I needed to walk. So I got up and I walked upstairs, told Justin, I said, you know, let's go, son. And we did what we did. And on the way to the hospital, I'm talking to the Lord, of course. Amen. My son's driving me. You know, all the thoughts go through your mind. I said, am I ready to die? I thought about the insurance is paid. They know where my passwords are. They know everything. I said, because I made preparation. I said, but Lord, I don't want to die here in the car next to my son while he's driving. You talk to Jesus. Amen. You be talking to Jesus. I just said, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I said, I was thinking to myself, I said, Lord, I don't know if today's the day, but you know. Mm-hmm. And because you're good and you know all things, you know, I'm fine with that. But I was questioning, am I ready to die? So I get to the emergency room. I go in, they put an IV in. And, you know, and then the fluttering starts to go down. But here's another reason why you want to pray for your doctors. Cause they, you know, these two people come in, they put me in the IV and the heart rate starts to go down. And I'm sitting there and I feel a little flutter every now and again. And then the doctor comes in, who had been in there before, and he looked up at the heart monitor. He said, oh, that's not good. That's too low. And I'm sitting there going, man, what are you talking about? What do you mean that's too low? I think y'all really need to get this thing right, man. Get this thing back up. I was about to jump up and start, you know, we need to get it up. And, but hey, look, so look, this is what I'll be saying. Listen, you can put your trust in the doctors if you want to. Listen, you go to the doctors, but you pray for them.
Amen.
He come in with this look on his face like, no. And I was like, yeah, okay, y'all work this thing. Get it up.
Right.
And so they got it up and they took me out of emergency, gave me a room. They put me in this room and there's a guy behind the curtain. I didn't know it. I heard him later, but he's back there. And I didn't get to talk to him too much. Because he had Fox News on and he was watching the elections. Let me tell you the last thing that I was thinking about. You want to tell me the thing that even crossed my mind?
Not the election.
Yeah. You know what I mean? What I was not thinking about. Yeah. God can put you in a place, make you forget everything you're thinking about, but the thing you ought to be thinking about. Hello. You'll do it, man. You'll do it. Listen, I told my son, I'll tell every one of you too. Listen, you've been living your life, but you don't know what's around the corner.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
You don't know what is around the corner. But you, all of a sudden, you turn the corner and wham! This thing is in your face. And you got to deal with it. Hello. Amen. I was telling my son. I said, son, and at that moment, you should be doing what you do before that. You trust God. We trust God with every breath you have. Amen. You trust God daily. When you wake up in the morning, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You go to bed at night, thank you, Jesus, for strength, for giving me strength to do all that I did. I mean, you learn to thank God because your life is literally in his hand.
Yes, literally.
Amen. And amen. I found that. And now I knew it, but I know it altogether differently now than I knew it before. Amen.
Amen.
What is it? So they put me up there. I was sitting in the bed and thought I'd get, you know, and I'm looking at that. They got me on this IV and the bathroom's over there and the IV right here. And I'm looking at IV bathroom. They ain't tell me how to get to the bathroom. I'm going to leave that alone. Anyhow. So I heard how to get there later when the brother over here, okay. I ain't see him come cross, but I heard a little tinkle tinkle. I was like, oh, they must have a different way. So then we worked that out. They didn't tell me anything. I'm sort of being like, what on earth y'all were doing up in here? Anyhow. And so they come in taking vitals and all that. And around, I don't know, about to 11 o'clock. About 11 o'clock, they come in and the woman's talking to this guy. He's still over. I still ain't seen him.
Right.
She says, well, you have a good night's sleep. He said, well, you know, you're never getting a good night's sleep in a hospital. You don't get any rest in a hospital. I was thinking to myself, I said, I can see how that can be true. She left this dude, turned over and started roaring and roaring all night long. I was like, wait a second. You said there's no, you don't get no sleep. This dude went over there. I saw 12 midnight. I saw 1 o'clock. I saw 2 o'clock. I'm sitting up. The nurse said 4 a.m. We come in for the morning vitals. I'm sitting up 2 o'clock. This dude over there. And he said there was no rest. I was like, well, found out later on, he's 80 years old. You understand? And So he was old. This dude was old. And the next morning, I'm calling customers. You know, tell them, hey, I ain't gonna clean your carpet today. People mad and everything, upset. Hey, I said, I'm in the hospital, you understand?
Right.
Yeah, I'm in the hospital, so you can get over it. I called my other franchise guy who owns another company. And I said, hey, am I going to take care of this one? He said, Patrick, I got you. Don't worry about it. So on and on. But this guy hears me doing that, and he calls through the curtain. Hey, you know anybody that can stretch carpet? I said, yeah, I'll give you that number. He said, you clean carpet? I'm like, yeah. He said, put me down. So here I'm over there scheduling carpet.
Work in the hospital.
You say, did I talk to him about Jesus? I had time talking about Jesus. But I heard him talking on the telephone, sound like he was a Christian. So we'll see. Anyhow, so Wednesday morning, you know, the doctor, the cardiologist comes in.
Okay.
He says to me, he says, so it's atrial fibrillation. That's what you have.
Okay.
He starts talking about cardioversion, and there's drugs you can take, or you can go with the shock treatment. And I'm sitting there like, well, what's the difference? Well, you take the drugs, we send you home, and it'll work over time. Shock. He says, we're going to whop, and we shock you, and it's going to set you, it's going to put you right. I'm like, I'll go with the drugs. I said, let me talk to my wife. I talked to Daphne. We talked and everything. And I came back and I talked and I was like, and then, you know, the thought hit me, you know, I always tell my children, you buy a car, don't ever get the low grade car. You know,
right.
Don't ever get the bare bones computer and nothing. Don't ever get the bottom left. You always go at least middle, at least start right. The middle and work your way up, but don't ever go to the bottom. So I thought to myself, I said, and they said, now you get the doctor said, you get the shock treatment. You leave here today. He said, you get the drugs, you leave here, then you come back. We have to look at you again. I was like, oh, man, no, I can't do that. Put me down for the shock. So they took me down. Long story short, just wonderful people on and on. And the girl, they put these patches on me. And after it was all done, the girl comes up. See, so the cardiologist told the girl, he told her while I'm sitting there. He says, I'm going to let you press the button. I'm like, what do you mean you're gonna let her press the button? I get it, training and all that, but she's like, oh, I've never done that before. You sure I can do it? I'm like, no, you're gonna let her press the button. I said, I was about to say, but I couldn't because I could get my heart rate up. You know, one time I stood up and the woman come running down the hallway and said, what are you doing? I said, I stood up. She said, well, your heart went up to 150. Sit down. I was about to. And I sat down. So they put me to sleep with the Jackson juice, they call it, you know, propofol, what Michael Jackson used. And that's what they call it in the ER. She said that Jackson juice is good. And I'm looking at her like, oh my goodness. Anyhow, they put me to sleep. When I woke up, everything was straight. I mean, everything was straight. Now, they take me back up to the room, and the girl pushing me through the hall. Let me tell you, it's humbling to be on a bed in a hospital being pushed through the hallways. That's humbling.
Yes, it is.
I just wanted to make sure you understood that. Anyhow.
I can imagine.
Get up to the room. Oh, Ashley was pushing me. So as soon as we turned the corner, there was no one else there. I was like, yeah, Ashley. She's like, yeah. I said, what you need prayer for? We all need prayer. Amen. Man, she unloaded. She said, well, I need this, and my back hurt, and I need a new job. And so I've been pushing me in the hallway, and I'm out there, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know all of us. So I'm praying, and, you know, I'm trying to remember this, talking about I'm blessing people and everything, because I'm just so thankful the Lord's touching me and everything. So we get up to the room. The girl who pressed the button, she come up. She says, you know your heart stopped. I was like, what? She says, yeah, we stopped your heart for a split second, and then it started back up. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait a second. They told me that afterward.
Right.
They didn't tell me that before. Mm-hmm. And then she says, you know, when you got the 200 joules, how to pronounce Bill, Jules, or Joel's?
Jules.
It's she said your body jumped 6 inches up off the bed.
Ooh.
And I was like, it did? She's like, yeah. She says, now with cardioversion, they start you, the shock, they start you at 50 joules, then they go to maybe 100, and then they go to 200. But the maximum treatment is three times per treatment. You can only have three. Okay. You start at 50. I read it on Google this morning. Mm-hmm. The girl standing at the end of the bed talking to me, she said, well, the cardiologist told me, start him at 200. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, the cardiologist said, don't do 50, don't do it. Start him at 200.
Hey.
I was like, dear God in heaven. She said, yeah, that 200, she said it lit you up. Bam! I was like, oh my. But they call it the sinus rhythm. It's the sinus rhythm. It's the rhythm you're born with. And when that shock comes through, it resets your heart. And that's what happened. Okay. And so when I came home, then they told me, take a few days off work. We don't want you doing anything. Just take a few days off work. So that's why I'm having this Zoom meet, because one time I was just talking to a nurse and she looked back at the heart monitor. She says, when you talk, your heart rate goes up.
Hmm.
She says, you're too passionate. You get, I said, yeah, I get worked up when I talk. I'm into it. I said, y'all need to fix this because I ain't going to shut up. the most shocking part was the whole bit about the 200 joules and the heart stopping and all that. I thought to myself, well, you know, you were dead in trespasses and sins for 19 years. Didn't matter if you were dead for a moment. Amen. God's giving you life. So I was just thanking Jesus. And I'll close with this. Last night, I don't know how many of you know who Timothy Wright was. He's going on Be With The Lord now. But he wrote a song called Jesus, Jesus. And it's a song about the Katrina survivors. Man, look here. Boy, I put that song on last night. And when he got to talking about Jesus, healer, healer, healer. Boy, the tears just flowed freely as I thought about God. See, I didn't have to be here today, church. And I don't think we get it. I don't think we get it how close, how much we are just a vapor. And like that, it's gone. You can be gone. And God knows it. God owes an explanation to no one.
No one. Right.
So every day is a gift. Every day we are living by the grace of God. And that's what I wanted to share. I hope, what is it, three? Oh, that's only an hour? Oh, my goodness. I could have gone longer. Hell, hold on. I was just joking. But I just wanted to share that with you, that especially Eric and Felicia, Rosalie, Kweku, my wife, my dear precious wife, who were here that night. And I know you thought I was crazy because Justin told me y'all were telling him, call 911, call 911. And I'm up there going, no, let me move the truck. You know, we moved the truck, switched the cars around, we hopped in and drove on to the hospital. Because I had no pain and I had no shortness of breath, I didn't feel like I was dying, you know. So that's why we did it that way. But I want to thank all of you all for praying for me and your continued prayers. Known and unknown what was going on, I'm just thankful that the Lord's, his mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. His steadfast love is everlasting. So we give God thanks and praise. And I'm done. If anyone needs to share something or a scripture or a psalm, a tongue, a hymn, a doctrine.
That's good.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians, amen.
Well,
I'm sorry. Hold on before Tori starts. So our family been through. And so the night, okay, I came home Wednesday night, Thursday. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Sugar.
So I'm watching, you know, he's texting us and I'm trying to keep up with him and everything while I'm still working. And then I was working late Wednesday night because this week was a show week for my dancers. And that night we found out that four of our dancers had to be quarantined because one of them was positive. By the end of this week, we have 11 dancers quarantined, but that wasn't the whole big thing. The whole big thing was Wednesday night, I get a text from my roommate who says, I think I might have been exposed to COVID. She went to a party, a get together with 7 or 8 people last Sunday, and someone at that party was positive. So she's like, I'm not sure yet, but that might be, you know, what's going on. So I came home masked and everything and isolated in my room. And so then Thursday she went to get tested and ended up being positive for COVID. So I was isolated in my room. And so the past, this whole week has just been crazy. But anyway, it was just a whole like roller coaster of, I went and got tested Friday. I'm negative. I got tested yesterday. I'm negative. But we had to figure out, so I just, praise God. Had to figure out, you know, like, could I work or whatever. And so then my big thing was, okay, I'm negative, but I need to get out of my house because my roommate is coughing like crazy. She doesn't understand, like, the gravity of the situation. Like, she's still walking around the house, and I'm like, you need to stay in your room. Because we share a kitchen and a bathroom. So I was wearing a mask, and I had my wipes and, like, not touching stuff, sanitizing everywhere. So I was like, I need to get out. But thankfully, my job, even though I can't work for the next 2 weeks, they put me up in one of the dorms, so I'm out of my house.
But at first they didn't.
Awesome.
Yeah,
we're feast on. Then one day they said, "Yeah, we're gonna do it." The next day we're saying, "I'm telling Sugar Pie, I'm like, Sugar, get a hotel. Daddy will pay for you.
Amen.
Your mother and I will make sure. I don't care if you have to live in the White House." We gonna get out of that house, and then they would say, that we're gonna do it, and then we'd be rejoicing, oh, bless the Lord. Then they turn around and say, oh no, we're not gonna do it, and we're like, Lord, what on earth are these people doing? So finally, they said yes, and so we give God thanks and praise.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Yay.
Thank
the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Tori. I think we don't understand. Some people don't understand the gravity of this virus. I have a sister who has her son tested positive. He is there in the house. The baby has got it. Now her daughter has it. The niece has it.
What?
This is my Sonia, my sister, who's there in Northern Virginia. So I think that we just have to do our due diligence and to realize that this virus is even, you know, we pray that no more people die, but we know that people are dying. But I think just being very careful to know that while the holiday season is coming up and we say we want to gather and get with our families and stuff like that, this is a family who lives together who now, they live in two different homes, but now all of them, mother, son, granddaughters, and daughter have it.
We'll be praying for them. I got them on my list. So.
Amen. Got about that, yes.
And, Bo, you said that the people in your church are doing better, right?
Okay. Yeah, no, actually, everybody now tested negative, so it was about 10 people that had COVID. And
Amen. Bless the Lord.
But there's only one person that is left, but other than that, it's everything. Everybody just, feeling good and no more critical conditions or anything.
Okay, good. We'll continue to pray. Thanks for sharing. Anyone else?
I have a praise report. So I think last week, like all the days are blending together now, I'm sorry. But I think it was like the week before last, that Sunday I found out my mother had to have surgery to remove her other thyroid. So at that point I was trying to literally shift my life around to be able to pretty much just take care of her and my dad. And it was an emotional week for her. She definitely felt very uneasy about it. But the Lord just kept showing how good he is and how gracious and merciful he is. And the day that I went in, I was going to try and try to make everything in my perfect little head world work. So I would like drop my, and also, this is also interesting because she was supposed to go in at about like 2 or 3. And then when I was about to go take care of myself and get ready, her surgeon calls and was just like, hey, so we had a cancellation. Do you want to come in now? I was just like, oh, now. And it was about nine or so in the morning. So it was like, it was pushed up. So, I did a Wonder Woman, got ready, and then we were on our way. Now the Lord was looking after us because on our way there, there was somebody like, we were literally, we went to Fairfax Hospital, Inova Fairfax, and we were on the straightaway until you hit Gallows. Green lights as far as the eye could see. So I was going, and there was this person that tried to hang a left in front of us. The Lord and his angels were watching out for us because we like, it was like this close. We were here and this person was here. And if those brakes hadn't worked, there would have been a collision. So like, praise the Lord. God is so good. And then we got there, didn't even have to wait long. They were on their J-O-B. And yeah, just watch her being rolled back. It's just very surreal because I remember being rolled back in the same hospital. So it was just like, wow, now I have to watch one of my parents go back, like, again. It was very hard for me, too. I thought I wouldn't cry, but then I started. But God was very good and just showed me, just really laid his presence on me while I was in the hospital. And I just read Ephesians over and over again and listened to it. And it was just a very supernatural experience. And everything went well. They had to take the thyroid out because there was cancer in it. So, and they took the neighboring nodes out as well. So, praise the Lord. God is very good. And
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Yeah, Pastor, I do have a song in my heart. Can we please sing it?
If we can, if we know it, yeah.
Yeah, it's the steadfast love of the Lord.
Okay.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. For closing us out with a song.
Yeah,
you all.
Love seeing you, and it's good being with you all. And we're thinking about doing a short Thanksgiving like Zoom meeting where you sitting in front of and everyone shares, gives us an update on their family. Okay. While you're sitting there, you can be eating or whatever, and you just, but we all give thanks to God now.
Amen.
It's not a good time to do that now in person because the virus is going crazy, but we could do it from the comfort of our own homes and just everyone take a moment to share about their family, how everyone's doing. We could also take prayer requests and keep one on prayer, but also, you know, just take a time to do that. And so we'll get that on the calendar. Thanks to my daughter for, let me know how to do it because I had it in my mind how to do it, and she's like, "No, this is how you do it." I'm like, "Okay, cool." And so we'll get that. We'll let you know what day we come up with to do that, but it won't be long. But I think it'll you know, just keep us together and to know what's happening in one another's lives. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. Well, God bless you, And we'll keep one another in prayer all week long.
Amen.
Love you all.